Take just a moment to welcome each one here this morning. And to those who are visiting with us, I want to say that we appreciate very much your presence and would like to invite you to come back and be with us this afternoon. If you can do so, we will assemble at 5 o'clock this afternoon and then Wednesday at 7:30 for Bible class. And we are very pleased that you've made a choice this morning to come and be a part of our service. As always, I remind you that you are responsible for the things that you believe in, for your faith, the way that you live your life. And that means that you must make sure that your choices in life fit the pattern that we read in God's Word. Make sure that you are measuring up to what it means to be a child of God. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, we note in this passage a teaching from Jesus that temptations will come, temptation to sin. But he also says, woe to the one through whom they come. In other words, I do not want to be the cause of someone being tested or someone being led into sin. I do not want to be the cause of temptation. And if I am the cause of temptation, then God is going to hold me accountable for those things. He says it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. And so there is clear punishment. In this context, we're reading about faith. Because the disciples come to him and they ask him about increasing our faith. If you remember last Sunday morning, if you were here, we talked about the idea that Satan chips away at our faith. And then Sunday night, I talked about some things we can do to help strengthen our faith. This morning's lesson is a little more focused in that we're looking at one passage where Jesus answers the question posed by his disciples about increasing their faith. The word faith means a conviction of the truth of anything, belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally, with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of flesh and joined with it. Number two, fidelity or faithfulness. And so when we talk about faith in the context of our lesson this morning, primarily we are looking at this idea of a conviction that is enjoined with trust and holy fervor, with our actions, with our response to God's Word. That's what faith is. And so the disciples ask, increase our faith in this context. Why did they need an increase of faith? We find that they already had a degree of faith. They had left their lives and they were now following Jesus. We can read in the gospel accounts about how Jesus approached different ones of the apostles and called them to service. And surely it took a degree of faith, of great belief in God and Jesus to follow him. And when you look at their time with Jesus over and over again, they proved their faith in Jesus. But if you look throughout the gospel accounts, you will find that most of the time when Jesus talks about their faith, it is not in a flattering way. In fact, most of the time, he describes them as having too little faith. times when they get concerned over events in life. And he encourages them to increase their faith. And now they're asking, Lord, how do we do this? Temptations to sin were sure to come. And they understood that. They understood the severity of that. And they also recognized, woe to the one through whom they come. They did not want to be the ones through whom temptation came. They understood the punishment of being the one through whom they came. They understood what God had said in this context about a millstone being hanged or hung around their neck. And so Jesus then goes into the idea of forgiving. He says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now, in this same context, in Matthew's account, Peter comes up to Jesus, and I believe it's based on what Jesus said here. And Peter asked the question, we're to forgive seven times? And Jesus goes on in that context, and he says no until 70 times seven. But the point is the same. We are to forgive those who sin against us. We are to be aware of what is going on. We are to take positive action to remedy that situation. We are to go to that person to rebuke, to inform, to let that person know, to give that person a chance. It may be that he or she does not know what they've done. And if they ask for forgiveness, forgive them. Seven times in a day. That's difficult to do, is it not? It's difficult to think temptations are going to come. Woe to the one who brings these temptations. And now in this context of sin, if someone has sinned against you, you go to that person, you rebuke him, and you forgive him. And not just once, but you forgive him seven times in a day if he asks. And again in Matthew's account, Jesus goes on and he emphasizes it even more. 70 times seven. That's hard to do. It takes great faith to be able to do this because, to be honest, these are not natural responses when someone sins against us. Is it natural to be forgiving? Is it normal to want to forgive someone the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh time in one day? And so they recognized, again in this context, that they needed their faith to increase. In our lives, we recognize a need to increase our faith, do we not? How many trials and tribulations in life do we face on a daily basis? Again, in the context here, in the book of Luke, there are very certain things mentioned. And things that very well could apply to us. But just think about, in all of the ways that we need faith to increase to a point where we believe enough that we want to be baptized into Christ. We need our faith to increase enough where we want to be with the saints in worship to God. Where this time together is important to us. It's more than just something of habit. We need our faith to increase when people mock and ridicule us, when they make fun of our faith. We need our faith to increase when we are persecuted. And no, we are not in this country persecuted as they were in the early church. We are not persecuted as some professing Christ are in other places. But nonetheless, we do face persecution. And so we need to do as Peter did. We need to do as the apostles did. Lord, increase our faith. And again, last Sunday night, we talked about some things that help to strengthen our faith. But I want you to listen to what is said in this context. I want you to listen to the response that the Lord gave. Aidan read it a few moments ago in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 6 through verse 10. And the first thing the Lord says in response to this, Lord, increase our faith, is, well, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamine tree, be thou rooted up, and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So the first point made is that our faith has to grow. The analogy here is of this small seed that is described in other places as one of the smallest seeds. And yet it grows to such a big force. And so the first thing we need to understand, if we're going to increase our faith, is that it must be a growing faith. And then he says, but who is there of you having a servant, plowing or keeping sheep, that will say unto him, when he has come in from the field, come straightway and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. And so we note here a servant. And again, this is all explaining how they can increase their faith. We note here a servant plowing or keeping sheep. In other words, our faith increases only when we are active. Only when we are doing is the point that he's trying to make. You have a servant out there doing the various toils of life that the master tells him. Whatever that is, it may be plowing today, it may be tending sheep, but whatever that is, the servant is out there working. And they worked from daylight to darkness. And so they worked a whole day. As Christians, should we not be doing the work that God wants us to do? Should we not be working a full day just as they did? Should we not be about the Father's business? If we want to increase our faith, the point Jesus is making is do the Father's work. When you look at the faith of the apostles, again, time and again, Jesus accused them of having too little faith. But as you note the progress of their faith and their lives in serving God, depicting this progress, this growth, it's easy to see how in the early stages they believed enough that they were willing to follow him, that they were willing to listen to him and again put themselves in precarious situations. But their faith was not strong enough where they would follow him there when he was taken captive, when he was taken before the Sanhedrin, when he was taken before Pilate. They abandoned him. But then as you look in the New Testament and you find that James was put to death with a sword, and you read about others as they were persecuted for their faith in Christ, you see the growth of that faith, the increase of that faith, because they were doing the Lord's work. And they were doing it not just hit and miss, not just here and there, But they made it a part of their active lives. They did not do the Lord's work only on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. They did not do the Lord's work only when they were with other Christians. They did the Lord's work in their daily lives. And if we are going to increase our faith, that's the kind of work that we must do. And so he says that even after this long day of working, when the servant comes in, do you think the master is going to tell the servant to sit down and take it easy and serve himself and relax? The point is no. That even after a long day's work, the master is going to tell that servant, you make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken. And afterward thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, you take care of my business first. You take care of my needs, and then whatever time you have, you take care of yours. And so the question is posed there by Jesus. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Is that what you would expect a master to do? To thank that servant? We understand that the master has given that servant a place at his table, if you will. That the master is the one who looks after that servant and protects that servant. And that servant has value because of the master in that relationship. And even though the servant has work to do, it is by the grace of that master that the servant is able to do that work and fulfill that duty and that responsibility. It's not reasonable to think that a master in that situation would show gratitude for the things that are done. In fact, he says, even so ye also, when ye shall have done all the things that are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Think about that for a moment. And again, in the context of increase our faith, what is the point? What is the foundation here that our faith is built and grows? Is he not talking about a mindset, an attitude? Is he not suggesting that we need to appreciate all that the master has done for us? And that when you compare what the master has done for us, there is nothing we can do in our lives to get to a point where it replaces God's grace. God's grace saves us. And we understand that. Now please know, the fact that God's grace saves us in no way takes away from the duty and the responsibility that we have to be faithful servants. It in no way takes away the responsibility that this servant had to go out and to plow the field and to keep the sheep and to work from dawn to dusk. And to come in and to again serve the master. All of that had to be done in this relationship. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make when he says, this is what you do. In response to their question about how in the world can we increase our faith? We understand what it means that temptation is going to come into this world. We understand. Woe to the one who brings in that temptation. We recognize God's justice and God's punishment. And these are difficult things to do. It's hard to forgive as God wants us to forgive. And so their faith, they recognized, had to increase from where it was at that moment. It needed to get stronger. And the whole point that Jesus makes in this context is, realize who you are. Realize who you are before. You are before God. And your duty is to serve God. Now let me make a few applications, if I may. Our young people, at least most of them, will begin school tomorrow if they're of that age. Do you think that your faith needs to increase? Have you prayed to God to increase your faith so that you will be strong enough to deal with all of the pressure that's going to be exerted on you by Satan? Have you prayed to God recognizing the difficulty of what you are going to go through tomorrow and the next day and throughout the school year? Do not excuse yourself, because we recognize that young people, children, those who are at the age of accountability, they can make the right choice. They can choose to serve God, or they can choose to rebel against Him. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want you to listen to the wise man as he describes youth, as he talks about young people. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he says in verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And so he tells children, you enjoy life. And it is a wonderful time. It is a time where a lot of growing takes place, getting ready for that next stage we call adulthood. But it's also a difficult time. And the wise man tells the young person, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. But he reminds them, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And so when you go to school tomorrow, and maybe you will renew friendships that have been put on hold through the summertime. Maybe you will make new friends. And maybe you plan to do this or that in school in addition to the school work. And you know that you're going to hear things, that you're going to see things going on that are not in accord with God's will. You're going to hear language that no child of God should utter. You're going to hear things about the opposite sex that no child of God should listen to. You're going to hear about the exploits of your friends over the weekend and all that they were able to do. You're going to be in a schoolroom, a classroom, where a teacher will talk about evolution, organic evolution, as fact. Where a teacher will perhaps deny God and suggest that only the foolish believe in deity and creation. You're going to be taught things that are contrary to the Word of God. You're going to be indoctrinated, perhaps, with things about abortion and homosexuality. Your faith needs to increase. It needs to grow. And the apostles understood the value of that, the need of that. And my question this morning is, do you? And if you do, pay attention to what Jesus said. Pay attention to the idea that you work and you do for the Lord. And when you've done all of that, you still haven't done enough. Where you can say, salvation is of your own accord. Salvation is of your own doing. It has to do with the heart and service to God. That's what he's talking about here. You serve God faithfully. And for all of us, as we go out into the world, how will we respond? Do we need to increase our faith? When we come together like this in an assembly, and we read the value of that in several places, we read the value of that in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 25, for example, when the Hebrew writer encourages the brethren, the Hebrew brethren, not to forsake the assembly. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. In other words, he's talking about the strength, the encouragement, the support that we give to each other. Do you think that maybe that would help us to increase our faith? Do you think that maybe that would be a part of the point that Jesus is making when we do and we work through the day and we come in and we work at night? And we realize that our first duty is to our master. If you go back a little bit there in Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin now with verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. There you go. The idea of faith again. Lord, help us increase our faith. With a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And so as we come together in this capacity, it is to increase our faith. And it's with the right heart and right mind. Why would we look at a time like this as being burdensome, as being hard? And again, that's the point Jesus was making to the apostles there. Why would they think facing and overcoming temptation would be hard? Why would they think that forgiving would be burdensome? Why would they put themselves in a position to be the one who would test or tempt others? They need to be plowing. They need to be keeping sheep. They need to be serving the master at night when they're tired. These are the things that we do as Christians. It is how we increase our faith. Let me ask you this. Would you acknowledge that there are certain things we do and choose to do that have a tendency to weaken our faith, and then there are things that we do that tend to strengthen our faith? And we could go through a list. Again, last Sunday night we talked about just a few things that would strengthen our faith. And I'll use the first one I mentioned last Sunday night, prayer. If I don't pray, is that going to weaken my faith or strengthen my faith? Well, I think we would all have to agree that if you do not pray regularly, the only result from that can be a weakening of faith. But if you pray regularly, if you pray sincerely, if you pray the way the Bible teaches us, that has to increase your faith, doesn't it? And again, that's part of the work that God wants us to do. Again, it's part of the tending the flock. It's part of the plowing that God wants us to do. Would you agree that if you are actively involved with other members of the church on a basis outside of this building, outside of this location, if you enjoy the company of other Christians, if you spend your time with other Christians, that has a tendency to help you grow and mature, to increase your faith? What about if you spend most of your time, and again, I'm talking about now your social time, in the times that you can choose, if you spend all of that with non-Christians, and maybe especially with people who use profanity and say things they shouldn't say and do things they shouldn't do, where do you think that would lead us? Well, of course, the Bible tells us that. Does it not? Be not deceived. What will evil communications or evil companionship do? Corrupt good morals. Corrupt good manners. And so we understand that we have to make these choices. And we realize that the things we do in life will build us up or tear us down. The attitude that we have in our worship. If we're here this morning and we're imagining being elsewhere, we're thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon, or if we're not paying attention because we're doing other things, maybe we have a pad out and we're playing tic-tac-toe with someone next to us, or maybe we're writing notes. Is that going to encourage growth? Well, what if we're focused in on the things that are being said, and we're in to the service itself? You know, to do that, you have to be prepared to do that. Some things have to be put away, and some things have to be embraced. Have you ever gone to a place where they tell you that there are certain restrictions to come into that place and to be a part of whatever event is going on? They do that for a reason. Have you ever gone into a place, for example, that says, please do not bring in drink and food? But they do that for a reason. They do that because they understand that if a person gets there and they're drinking and they're eating and they're making noise and people are watching, that it takes away from what's going on. We need to think about those kinds of things when we come here. And we need to make sure that our mind is focused where it ought to be. Look, there's nothing wrong if you have a baby, an infant, giving that baby a bottle, obviously. We understand that. And for very, very young children, some parents will have little snacks, Cheerios or something of that nature. Again, I'm not talking about those situations, but I'm talking about situations where we as adults come in and we just have to have our Diet Coke, or we just have to have our Skittles or whatever else. This is not the place for that, don't you agree? Don't you agree that if we're going to come here and we're going to focus our attention and make sure that every moment that we're here, we're doing the right things, we're thinking about the right things, that we're going to put our mind on the service, and we're going to listen attentively, and we're going to join in the song service. Just think about some of those things, is what I'm saying. What will increase our faith? It's for sure that a lot of what we do sometimes decreases our faith. When we become a little too common, I guess, in our beliefs. You know, we have become sometimes like the denominational world, and we just kind of make worship like this a social gathering and you know, kind of a fun time, a fun place in ways it shouldn't be. We're here for a serious reason. And I don't mean by that we shouldn't enjoy the service, because I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy singing. I enjoy the time that we have together. When Jeremy was teaching the class this morning and people were making comments, I enjoy all of that. But it's not a place for giddy fun. We need to do things that will increase our faith. And obviously, as I've looked at about three or four different things, different spectrums of our Christian life, you can see that I could talk a long time this morning. But I'm not. And so if you are not a member of the body of Christ, then I would encourage you this morning to think about your condition. Again, your faith needs to increase to a point where you respond. And I would suggest that your faith can increase exactly as Jesus described here. And that means understanding your place before God and understanding your whole purpose is to be His servant. Remember what, again, the wise man said, the last two verses of Ecclesiastes. What is the whole duty of man? Fear God and keep His commandments. Why do we do that? Because we're going to face judgment. And so if you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that you'll have enough faith this morning to come forward and confess that faith in Christ and be baptized. If you're a child of God but you've sinned against Him, ask God to forgive you. If your faith needs to increase, then pray to God that He will help you increase your faith. But then be willing to do the things that will increase your faith. Respond if you need to as together we stand and sing.